The reading this morning I've chosen from Isaiah, which was a scheduled reading some weeks ago. But I chose it because I knew that the choir was going to sing in the bleak midwinter. And given the fact that the weather people have been pretty much spot on in most cases about the weather going on at the time, I thought probably very appropriate to use this. In the bleak midwinter, it gives us time, I think, to reflect. And part of what I want to talk about today has to do with reflecting on what is or has been and understanding how God really is a part of most of what has been and what is yet to come. And so I chose this passage from Isaiah 49. You'll know parts of it. The front of the bulletin, the cover of the bulletin, comes from this. And that will be the focus of my words, hopefully, unless God decides something else. Okay, from chapter 49. Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples who are far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made me my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant. You are Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward is with God." And now the Lord says, "Who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him again. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength." He says this, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach far to the ends of the earth." The word of the Lord. One of the things to recognize about anything we read from the Old Testament is always to recall that Israel has had a very interesting, very thunderous and crazy-filled journey from the time of Abraham down to the time of Jesus. And when we read the Old Testament, we're reading people's testament about God and their relationship with God as that journey progressed. We have the privilege of standing thousands of years later and looking at it from a very different perspective. And when we read Scripture, I think most times we come at it from our Christian perspective and try to see what ties in with Jesus here and how all of this is supposed to make sense in our lives. It's important always to remember the context. The context is Israel has suffered and has suffered greatly, whether by their own choice, whether by God's action, whether by the circumstances of their lives. Israel went through a whole lot of pain, which is why they're very, very close and they stay close to one another as a nation, because God, in God's wisdom, let it be known to them that they were in the hand of God at all times. To read the Psalms, to really appreciate most of the Psalms, and we don't read many of the Psalms. Christians stay away from psalmody because there are things in there that talk about something that only really oppressed people could understand. I think if we were to better understand the Psalms and what they are saying about destroy our enemies and don't let any of them survive and make sure you wipe out the Chaldeans and destroy the Babylonians and God is going, "Yeah, let's do that." Those songs describe the anguish and the demoralization that these people experienced in their struggle for survival. And so if we're going to read some of those Psalms, we need to remember the context. But also in that context, there are some Psalms that reflect hope and delight in God and the promise of God given again and again and again. And this passage this morning is exactly one of those from Isaiah. that says, I knew you when you were formed in your mother's womb, and I called you by name. As a nation, that's what they believed. They believe it even to this very day for the people as a whole. I have called you by name, and you are my own. I am with you always. That's a given for the whole understanding of the Old Testament. But I think what that opens up for us is the possibility that when they reflected on their lives and the journey of the generations that led up to their own days, there came an understanding that comes through in their wisdom literature. And that wisdom literature suggests that it is only a mature, reflective person who can ever come to understand what the words, I have formed you in your mother's womb, and I have called you by name, and I send you as a light to all the nations, what exactly that means, not for them, but for us. And thinking about the maturity it takes to understand and to realize that we too have all been through the very same kind of journey that those people have, not with quite as much angst, hopefully, but we've been through a lot of things and life experiences. And have we come to realize, indeed, that God formed us in our mother's womb, and God called us by name, and God sends us, like Tegan, to be a light to the whole world? Sitting alone this week, I had a little bit of an experience that I think is a good example of what exactly this means. When we look over our lives, we many times come up with some of the high notes and some of the real low notes. And there's a lot of stuff in the middle that's there, but we don't really pay a whole lot of attention to it because that's kind of limited off to the ordinariness of life or the duties that I had to do or the requirements of my day that don't really mean a whole lot. Truth is, if you spend time with your life, I think you can come to a place where you understand yourself, that you have a maturity through which you can perceive your whole life and the details thereof that lead you to understand that you too have been formed in your mother's womb by God and that you are sent as a light to the world. In my thinking about it this week, and I had just kind of a 10-minute piece of time, my whole life kind of ran by in a very interesting way. It was kind of a free flow of thought, and so one thing thought led to another thought, to another thought, to another event, to another event. But there are certain ones that stand out that came running across my mind, and really it was just a run. The first thing I thought of was a time when my mother was very angry with me for something. I don't really remember why. But I knew that I was in serious trouble. And so I started to move away from her, and my father was standing off to the side, and he said, run. And so I ran. And I ran outside, and so my mother follows me, and my father follows, and it began a chase through the house. My father telling me, no, go the other way, go the other way. And back and forth, it must have taken 20 minutes we were running, because I was all out of breath, and I think it was like 7 or 8. I don't know what I had done, but the interesting thing that I remember was at the end of that, all three of us were laughing so hard that we forgot what it was all about. It occurred to me in that moment that I had a bond with my parents unlike any other time prior to that moment, because all three of us were engaged in one event that obviously touched all of us and affected all of us, but obviously made us all aware from a mature place that little things that happen in the course of a day, in the course of a lifetime, can really be a wonderful lens through which we can look at our lives. as opposed to what I had been used to. The lens through which I looked at most of my life, especially my youth and my seminary career, was from a place of judgment and a place of inadequacy, that somehow, no matter what you did, it wasn't quite good enough. And because we were so interested, or I was so focused on those things, to succeed, to please the authorities that were in my life, to do all the right stuff and become the perfect seminarian and the most wonderful priest that ever existed, and all those great ideals, I missed out on, I'd say, 95% of every day. I did not realize how badly I had missed out until I got together at a reunion. I think we had been ordained maybe 10 years. And we got all our class, our seminary class, back together again. And my first roommate was there, and I had not seen Dave since our senior year of high school. And he started talking about the things we did. And I said, "We did? I don't remember that. You sure it was me?" "Yeah, it was you. We were roommates." And I remember this very clearly. And shortly thereafter, I had a vacation with older friends of mine who were also priests, but at the time they were all priests. And we went on vacation, and I realized after that vacation, we had gone to Hawaii on a lark. And the three of us spent 2.5 weeks in Hawaii, island hopping and doing all the touristy things. And, you know, we found a house right across from the beach for $12,000. We thought we could pitch in all our money and just rot on Hawaii, you know, buy this little shack and build it up and do something. We saw things in our travels that I have pictures of, and I have no recall of ever being there. I obviously was there. I obviously had a great time. But so focused in one way, through one lens of seeing life, deprived me of realizing how much there is to living and how much joy and delight there can be. Not just because you're away from everybody on vacation, everybody's going to judge you, etc. That was all up here. And so the lens needed to be changed, and it took me a number of years until now to get rid of the lens and change it. But when I began to look back on some of the major things that took place, this is just a few days ago, I began to realize, you know, we talk so much about being real Christians, and if you really, really believe in God, what your relationship should be like, and what we should be doing, and all the shoulds, the musts, and the oughts. And then, for the first time, I saw a whole day that I had just been through with Louise and my grandkids. We had been through a whole situation, experience with lots of different feelings, etc. And it hit me. It's only when you have enough maturity, that is, you've aged, and you're subtle, you know, still flexible in your aging, that all of it makes sense. That all of it suddenly made me realize that it is true. I was formed in my mother's womb by God, and God called me by name. And God has sent me as a light. And going to be 72, that was a real awakening. And I offer it to you only for this. I think lots of times we're very hard on ourselves. Sometimes, you know, God can be very elusive. And sometimes we're looking for God in all the wrong places, like church. Sometimes our expectation of how God fits into our lives doesn't really work to give us energy or encourage the journey or, in fact, give us any kind of grace, if you will, to proceed with whatever challenge faces us. But reflecting on it from a different perspective than that expectation of having perhaps a different lens through which we view what is happening today, we all can come to understand that from the very conception of our lives, God was knitting us together and God was forming us to be who we are, not to become somebody else, to be who we are, and to live the life that we are living, and to make the choices that we make, and in every one of those choices, whether they turn out well or not, to find in there another step forward into becoming who we are called to be. It's a journey. And there is no right way to go through it, and there is no wrong way. There are no mistakes in a journey. There are just challenges that lead to newness of life. There are just blips in the road that cause us to think again, reflect a little harder, become more authentic, and move on. And the journey is never finished. And even when this life is finished, brothers and sisters, I truly believe that the journey will continue. I have no proof, but I can't imagine that the intensity of this kind of living comes to a crashing end when you take your last breath. It just doesn't fit the picture. So I encourage you, in the bleakness of the midwinter, while we have maybe more space than summertime and when the warm weather is here and we're out doing zillions of things outside and inside and all the projects we want to accomplish before next winter, in the bleakness of the winter, give a thought to the lens through which perhaps you view your life. And all of us who have certainly matured in our journey, let us begin to see not just hope and promise, but begin to see, in fact, that in every breath, God truly is present. And in every choice, God may be present if we invite. And with every piece of the living that we go through, plus, minus, negative, good, bad, God is still there, urging us on to take the next step and to find what yet is to come. That, I believe, is the God of Jesus. That, I believe, is the God who will bring salvation to the ends of the earth for all people. That is the God we pray to. Amen.